Ooh, welcome. Step right in. Take a look around. I promise that no matter who you are, we've got something here for you. Think of any creature, any companion, any friend. We've got it. It's our business to provide to you, our valued customer, anything that you could possibly think of. Anything at all. So, think real hard, because we've got all that and more here at Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop.
Oh, hey there. How's it going? Welcome to the Cineplex. What can I do for you?
I was really hoping to see, the new hot movie that everybody's talking about.
Oh, the new hot movie that everyone's talking about.
Okay. The one that's on all the commercials and the one that I keep hearing about on the radio. And everybody's just like gabbing about it. They really can't stop.
All right, man.
All right. Yeah.
Here's your Adderall.
Huh?
What? Were you not asking for Adderall?
Was this not a movie theater?
No, it's a movie. Look, I'm a high school kid. Yeah. I'm trying to save money for a class trip, and so I've been selling my Adderall. And people come up and they say, I want to see the new hot movie when they're looking for Adderall. Don't tell the cops, please. Especially not my mom.
I got a thing with, meds, so, can I just give you, $20 instead? Can I make a donation?
Yeah, if you want to donate to my class, that's fine, then I can keep the Adderall and sell those still.
Yeah, for sure, man. Here you go.
I really appreciate it.
Here's a cool 20.
Can I get you some popcorn? It's wildly overpriced. I'll just give it to you for free.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, sure. Will you get in trouble?
No. What's really funny about movie theater, right, is that, the prices keep going up. I don't know if you're aware of why the movie theater concessions are so expensive. And it's because...
Enlighten me.
You see, the studios kind of really fuck over the movie theaters, even though the movie theaters are the things that, get their movies, out in the world. So, really, movie theaters don't make any money off of the ticket sales for the movies that they show. So, all of their revenue comes only from the concessions, and that's why they get hiked up so high, is because the movie studios are incredibly greedy.
Dang.
But yeah, really, like a large popcorn only costs us maybe 35 cents to make.
I'm sure it's
then they charge $10 for it. There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Hey, when I'm at Disney World for this choir trip, I'm gonna think of you.
For sure, for sure. I still would like the two tickets to Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 1, please.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's great. On the real release. I like it.
Yeah. No, the year is 2011, and I'm seeing this movie in theaters for the first time.
Is it 2011 now?
I'm assuming that's when the movie came out, based on just like... I mean, that's a wild shot. No, in the dark, but it feels like a 2011 film.
That sounds about right. Yeah, no, you just really zagged on me with the. It's 13 years ago.
Why would it be in theaters now, Zach?
Well, that was the thing. I thought we were just in the normal modern times, but then you threw a film at me from 2011, and I was like, we're back in time.
Well, you were taking on a younger character.
Oh, I was portraying a young Zach Robb sort of thing.
Yeah, is that
nice. I wish it would have worked at a movie theater in high school. That would have been fun.
Pawn Adderall.
Pawn Adderall to clientele. Pay for my choir trips and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
Yeah.
But that's a real thing about movie theaters. The studios are really
I figured. I didn't think you were just spitting that off of them.
A real story, though, what I've been really digging about movie theaters. Because that I'm a weird boy, and I'll just go to a movie theater and buy popcorn and leave.
It's one of my favorite things about
because I really enjoy popcorn, particularly movie theater popcorn.
Yeah, it's best place to get it.
I had just a joyous day. I was gonna get my popcorn, and there's these two older guys that they're the ticket checkers. They've got a little iPhone with a scanner thing on it that they sit by the door. One of them walks with a cane. The other one's in a little chair. And they're both very, very nice. And one of them, can I scan your ticket? I was like, no, thanks, man. I'm just here to grab some popcorn. And he's like, I like your style. And he walked, followed me to the thing. And I was like, just going to get a large popcorn to go. He's like, do you want your refill, too? And I was like, what?
What?
He's like, yeah, I mean, you get a refill with the large popcorn. I was like, yeah, I got, yeah, I'm aware of that, but like, I didn't.
Does that mean I just get two popcorns for the price
of
one? Yeah,
and the high school kid behind the counter took out a yellow garbage bag, which they use apparently for their like to go popcorn. It's like the yellow ones are the to go bags, and they filled like the large popcorn bucket once, dumped it in, a second time dumped it in, and then tied it up, and then filled the bucket one more time and gave me the bucket. So I got three full popcorns, and I was like, you just made my life.
I didn't realize that to go popcorn was such a common enough occurrence that they had specific baggies.
Well, like I said, it took like to go popcorn, like it was like a big selling thing, like to, when, you know, COVID was happening, like it was like, come get popcorn, you know, if you're, you know, while you're at home, watching movies and stuff, like, you know, come in for, you know, that good buttery goodness that you love, crave, and miss.
That's legit, actually.
And so I got, apparently it's not just me that's weird enough that just walks into a movie theater and gets a bucket of popcorn.
I remember the day where you kind of realized you could just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you just like really, cause you've always been a popcorn.
I've always loved popcorn, dude.
And the day you realized that, like, did this get inspired by, like, did Rin cue you into this?
Rin cued me in a little
she
bit.
She used to work at a movie theater for years.
Well, because she would bring you the bags all the time. And
yeah,
then,
just the leftover popcorn at the end of the night.
I think where it started from, like, a little bit was I would help our dear friend Pip when they were doing HYT stuff, because it used to be like they would meet at the mall. And like, you know, at like that old like church space, and there was a day where like I was just like the extra adult in the room.
Yeah.
Because like they couldn't just have, you know, a random college kid like with a bunch of people's children alone in this dark room in a mall.
I guess.
Which is fair. And so like I would just tag along just to be like a second, you know, adult in the room, and there, so I was just kind of chilling. I was like, dude, I'm just gonna go over there and just order a popcorn. And and then when I was driving around, you know, BG in the area, measuring you know, floors and stuff, I would often pass Levis Commons on my way back home to BG. Yeah. And at that point, Rin was working there. So a lot of times I would go in and she was working. She'd be like, hey, Zach. And she'd get, they had like nice, like bags with like handles on them that I was like, can I get a to go bag? And so she's like, yeah, I got you. And she would just give it
to me. It's not, but I was picturing like an IKEA bag, like those.
Not, I mean, it was like clear plastic, but like kind of that style. It was, No, but it was great. I love popcorn, everybody. If you ever want to send Zach a gift, popcorn.
Fully popped popcorn in the mail.
We somehow spent 8 minutes talking about how much I love popcorn. So
that's fine. I'm cool with that.
Hey, what a wholesome conversation topic, I gotta say.
I feel like 95% of our audience knows what they're getting into with this podcast.
God, I love popcorn so much. Now that's all I'm thinking about. Episode time.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop. I'm Griffin.
I forgot we haven't done this part yet. Oh, no. I'm Zach. Hi. Guys, we got a new we're excited. We're kicking off the time portals here because we just got access to the Ninth World Caricciary Part 3.
Part 3.
Book we didn't know about.
We're so hungry for new source material, and what a happy and familiar place the Ninth World has become.
Well, happy, familiar. Can you really feel familiar with anything there? Because it's all just wolves, the width of blades, and
Familiar in the sense that when I know when I open up a Ninth World Creatiary book, I'm gonna see nothing but creatures that make me go, how's that work?
That's about right.
Let's just get into
it,
shall we?
What we got?
Up first, we have a little creature called a Zarisk. Now, the Zarisk is sort of very cute,
but also
at the same time, it's a little unsettling because it's like a little sort of lemur-like creature. It's like sitting on a branch. Yeah. It's got its little lemur hands and a little bushy tail. It's got big beady eyes and a little nose and a little mouth, but its face is also an eye.
It's also like on, like it's like projected over like an eyeball.
Its regular eyes and face are like superimposed over a much larger singular eye.
That's just like, yeah, it's like, so imagine like, yeah, if Griffin's face were like still there, but also his face was
an
eyeball.
Who's that big one-eyed character from, thinking of from like All Real Monsters?
Oh, God, I'm trying to remember. Well, there was the guy who like held his eyeballs in his hands, like above his head. But then there was Ickes who had like the big football
shape. It's like if Ickes's head was an eye. It's like that shape, you know?
But his face was still there.
I'm just like, it invokes the shape to me, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Let's see here. I get that.
These lemur-like primates have a large, transparent synth lens instead of a face, which the creature can use to project still or moving images like a recorder headband. The panel functions as the creature's eyes, as well as its means of communication. It shows hypnotic images or appealing lights to attract insects it eats, eyes and facial expressions when curious with strangers, and soothing colors to anyone it has bonded with as a pet. Ah, nice. If threatened, it can rapidly strobe its lens, disorienting opponents.
Okay, so it's just like an LED eyeball that it just puts whatever it wants
on its face? I think maybe.
That's weird.
So it's like, so are we on the same page that we're thinking that this big eye, even though it still has a pupil and everything in the center and an iris, is like a screen, and it's putting images on top of that, not changing the status of the like iris or the pupil that is part of the screen eye. This is wild. It's so hard to describe these fucking creatures in this book.
Yeah, it's like its eye face is like George Lopez's face in Shark Boy and Lava Girl when he's like the big robot.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
So it's got its eye face.
And its forehead's got like eyelashes.
Oh my god, it does! It has a full like
set of eyelashes. My god. It's like a visor over its eyes.
Let's see here. Its motive. All these creatures in this book feature motives. This one's is hungers for insects and nectar. Its environment is in forests, swamps, and climbable ruins. It has a health of 3, and it inflicts 1 point of damage upon attacking. Its movement is short, but it also has a climbing speed as well. It climbs and performs stealth as level 3 skills, and it detects and resists poison as level 4. In combat, Zarisks attack with their tiny nails, but only if cornered or their bonded master is in danger.
Zarisk, use Fury Swipes.
Zarisk! A threatened Zarisk strobes its lens, disorienting any creature attempting to harm it. All attacks against it are hindered. Because of their ability to detect poison, which they will warn about using a specific and recognizable lens pattern, it just flashes across the lens, "Do not eat."
Yeah.
They are sometimes used as food testers by noble families who suspect foul play. Zarisks are cautious, but can be befriended and tamed if offered food, especially sweets or alcohol, similar to the fruit nectar they enjoy.
Yeah, so just give them some tequila, and they're like, ooh, guava. Ooh.
They like imitating the faces of children, and if treated well, they make good companions for young humans. Interesting.
I think the memeability of Zarisks is very high.
Yeah?
Like, I could see, like, you know, like, if it gets pissed at someone, like, you know, its face, like, turning red, and it does, like, the beep, 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 beep. Was that Kill Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kill Bill sirens?
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's it. There's a chance for a lot of bits.
It can just play reaction gifs across its dome piece.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, you know, it'll show up. But you're like, oh, God, what day is it? And you'll just, like, hear from its face, like, it is Wednesday, my dude. Yeah, it's the opportunities are endless.
Just a weird little LED screen-faced lemur.
Yeah.
Weird.
But very weird. But they're like, very weird.
Good pet?
Good pet. I think it would be a sick pet.
Yeah, you just feed it and occasionally, like, give it some shots.
Yeah, yeah, you put it in front of your grandma and when, you know, she needs to watch her stories mm-hmm. to kind of distract her for a little while. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, here, take Sprinkles and, it, you know, put you know, Days of Our Lives just plays on its face. And she's like, oh.
God, it's the ultimate pet for an iPad kid.
Oh, my God, big time. It is the iPad.
It is the iPad. iPad pet.
iPad pet.
They'd be really good at, like, concerts as, like, instead of, like, sign language interpreters, because you could just have, like,
captions?
You could, yeah, you could just have, like, captions playing across its dome.
Dude, hell yeah, going to the movies?
Yeah.
And you got a little cuddle, you know, a little cuddle pet, mm-hmm. and it's chilling there, and the subtitles are scrolling on its
eyes. Yeah, it can sit on your lap and while you're watching the flick, and, yeah.
It's just, like, staring at you, but, like, that's okay. You get used to it. I feel like there would be an adjustment. I feel like this thing would always just kind of be, like...
Yeah, because, like, when it doesn't have, like, an expression across it, you just have a large eyeball staring at you at all times. A large, yeah. emotionless, empty eyeball.
Big
Zach's
time.
Trying to do a visual bit on this audio medium.
I was trying to do it.
Zach was trying to get his eye really close up to his camera for me. Thanks, buddy. That's my boy right there. Nope, just seeing
You're
your
welcome.
Cheek.
That's my boy right there.
That's my boy. That's my Zarisk.
Here I
that's
am.
That's my Zach-risk.
We'll workshop it.
Zarisk, good pet.
Good pet. They're kind of rocking, yeah. I gotta say. Hey, if the Zarisk comes a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Okay. What's next, buddy?
I don't understand half the things I say. At all.
But hey, that means you do understand half the things you say.
There we go. You know, that was a glass half full kind of situation.
Right side, baby.
So up next, we got the Dritch.
Dritch. It's a Dritch.
What I'm looking at is this sort of buggy, like, long serpentine-esque insectoid with, like, a bunch of arms.
Yeah.
It's like this kind of glowy teal color.
Yeah.
You know, it's got, like, little chitin bits. It kind of looks like it's got teeth down its chest and tummy.
Maybe.
Just like a little bit. But it's got, like, what is that? 4 sets of arms, maybe?
Yeah, it's giving, like, insectoid snake man.
Kinda, yeah. The Dritch is a variety of creature that is a kind of iotum known as Midnight Stones. It spends much of its time sniffing out concentrations of the substance. This means a Dritch can be especially dangerous to those who possess Midnight Stones or who have used such stones in the past, because the creature has a special power over the volatile energy called void matter that Midnight Stones resonate with. A Dritch has a mottled carapace that resembles a Midnight Stone and glows with a faint greenish light. It is slender and sleek, with a head on a long neck, several arms, and a long torso that narrows to a snake-like coil. A variety of antenna-like protuberances protuberances. That's a hard word to say.
Yeah, you got it.
Stud, it's glistening form.
Ah, nice.
It hungers for midnight stones. That's motive. Environment is anywhere midnight stones might be found.
Huh.
It's got 15 health. Deals 4 points of damage.
Ooh.
It's got a short movement speed, and it's immediate when burrowing. Sure. Its modifications are tracking and salvaging midnight stones as level 7. So I'm assuming you can find them real, real good ones.
Yeah.
In combat, a Dritch can bite foes, though its first attack is to spit a glob of greenish-black energy void matter about once every minute, attacking a foe within short range for 4 points of damage. The target must also succeed on an intellect defense roll or be stunned and lose their next turn.
Oof.
A stunned target immediately develops a harmful mutation that lasts until their next 10-hour recovery roll.
That's rough.
If a Dritch attacks a character in possession of a Midnight Stone or who is otherwise infused with void matter through some other item or ability, the Dritch's attacks inflict 2 additional points of damage for a total of 6 points and ignore armor.
Wow.
Each such attack returns the Dritch to full health.
Wow.
And in the case of a character carrying Midnight Stones, drains 1 of those stones.
If you have a collection of Midnight Stones, do not get this. Simply do not.
Simply do not. If you have Midnight Stones or are infused with void matter, it's a bad idea.
If you're a little void boy, just don't do it.
Yeah. You void boys, don't. Just don't.
Skip this one.
Yeah. Dritches usually ignore creatures that are not threats or do not have Midnight Stones. Too much about Midnight Stones, you guys. Find something else to obsess over. Unless hunger or loyalty urges them to do otherwise. If they become hungry enough, they attack anything infused with or in possession of void matter, including other Dritches.
Woof.
If a Dritch is young and impressionable enough, it sometimes imprints on other creatures.
Hey, we got him again, Zach.
Yay, look at that. Used Dritches are not common, but every now and then, an explorer is seen in the company of one, claiming that it helps out when salvaging for Iotum. Characters who carry Midnight Stones may get a curious sniff or two, but nothing worse happens immediately. Later, the Dritch goes looking for a snack.
Interesting.
It, like, goes, gets in buddy. It's buddies. Like, yeah, I saw some guys with some fucking Midnight Stones. We got some work to fucking do, boys.
Let's go. Let's dritch it up.
Dritch it up. The intrusions as the Dritch burrows into the wall or floor, leaving a slowly healing tunnel behind it for about a minute. Whoa. If one or more characters follow, they become stuck as the healing wall seals around them until they can be somehow extricated.
Ooh, that sucks.
That's kind of neat that the hole heals itself up.
It mends itself back up.
Through.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Weird.
They're very weird. There's some with some weird creatures.
Yeah. But yeah, too much of an obsession with Midnight Stones.
Yeah, what would a funny obsession be? Like,
you know, well obviously the antithesis, the opposite of Midnight Stones, which would be Morning Wood.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, dog.
No, but then they'd just be going for any...
Just mad. Hi, Ellie. Hi.
Ellie's here.
Ellie's on the podcast.
Yeah. Hi, Ellie.
Zach says hi.
I see you.
Anyway.
Anywho.
We're talking about Dritches.
I love how I'm talking louder, like Ellie's going to hear me.
I mean, it probably helps a little bit.
Ellie, hi. Hi, it's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
I'm absolutely when are you gonna leaving this in the edit. Okay, anyway.
Dritches are weird. I think it would be funny if like they were like there was a Dritch who was just like a brony. Like it's like
elaborate.
I'm looking, like how like like the comic book guy from The Simpsons, you know, it's just kind of like shows up places to be like, I'm looking for the new limited edition Rainbow Dash. Do you happen to have it, sir?
Just like a real dweeb.
Yeah, but gets really, like, the same sort of level of aggression, like, if people have Midnight Stones. It's like, you have one, and you didn't put it aside for me to purchase? How dare you? And then, like, all of its arms, like, end up on, like, the counter.
Yeah.
And it's, like, climbing over, and the guy's like, sir, 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 sir. And he's like, I need that Rainbow Dash. And then it gets weirdly aggressive.
And then, yeah, and then the Dritch thing goes a little too far, and the comic book shop owner or whoever ends up having to like retaliates in the night, and yeah. Like finds the Dritch and his buddies, or comes with his buddies and finds the Dritch, and they like beat the shit out of him, and then they say, Dritches get stitches. Nice. Yes.
I hope that my dip snap makes it into the.
I'm sure it'll show up. I'm sure it'll show up. For those playing along at home, Zach's hitting a really good dip snap, something I've really never been able to do. I think we got it, Zach.
I wish I could do it with both hands and like rapid fire. Just
alternate. Yeah.
Yeah, just like that'd be so good. I gotta work on getting my left hand dip snappable.
I don't know that Dritches would make great pets.
I don't think they would at all.
No. Like, they kind of seem to have, like, a very singular purpose. I mean, if you're into that, they've got a lot of arms that they could give you a good snug with.
Yeah.
Like, try to think, because, like, you know, at the end of the day, my dog or cat, really all they want to do is eat and sleep too, right?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, if you've got, you know, especially like if you're, you know, enjoy sort of a carapace-y sort of creature,
you like that,
a snuggle.
You like that smooth.
A bug snug. You know?
If you want a little bug snug, then maybe Dritches are for you.
Yeah, maybe Dritches could be for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a Midnight Stone collection, again,
No. Definitely not.
100% not.
If you're into My Little Pony, also probably not.
Probably not. And also just like
specific one.
And just like take a step back and just evaluate yourself real quick.
Yeah, Steven Universe is better. Go watch that.
It's so like if you take a minute and you examine yourself and you examine why you've gotten into this like media and this community, if that's something that you've decided is still for you, great. I encourage you to chase your bliss. However, if you're doing it for sort of like foundless reasons, find something that speaks to you more and stop being just
maybe
like
a little self-reflection. Yeah.
God.
Ad break.
Hi, I'm Shifty Mercutio, owner and operator of Shifty Mercutio's pre-certified components and discount arcana warehouse and layaway. Your one-stop shop for all your discount spell, component, and arcane item needs. We understand the best spells cost an arm and a leg, but Shifty Mercutio's, they only cost a finger. Just kidding. Sorta. Anyway, our shelves are stuffed to the brim with a premier line of locally resourced spell components, gently used magical foci, and a bunch of dusty books. What's in them? I don't know. Only one way to find out. You sword swingers tired of reaching for that rinky-dink crossbow every time something with wings shows up? Well, that's where I, Shifty Mercutio, come in. Every magical what's-it in the shop will work almost every time. What? You don't take me, Shifty Mercutio, at my word? Well, then take it from some of these savvy shoppers who definitely didn't get duped.
My party's fighter now has to spend even longer waiting for resurrection. Thanks to Shifty Mercutio's knockoff diamonds. Never shopping here again.
I thought I struck a great deal with this wand that was said to have been found on the body of a great wizard. The proprietor neglected to say that the wizard was still alive. I'm now down one wand and 100 gold. Fuck directly off.
I went in to buy a component pouch for spells. The pouch was just full of weed. 3 out of 5.
Brings tears to the eye. So, if you're in the market for half the spell components you need at half the price, come on down to Shifty Mercutio's pre-certified components and discount arcana warehouse and layaway. Shifty Mercutio's. You get what you get. Don't throw a fit.
Our next creature is something called a Baug.
Baug.
Yep. It's, let's see here. God, where to start? Because these creatures are always like kind of like amalgamates of other things that we can kind of understand. Its face is, I guess, kind of bat-like.
Yeah, I was going to also say that. Also, it's kind of nasty.
It's kind of nasty. It's got a bat face and then like maybe kind of like a hyena body.
Kind of.
But its arms and legs, its legs are like kind of like a kangaroo. Where they're big and strong and all, like...
Griff, I think its nostrils are above its eyes.
That might be the case. It also seems to have... It's got, like, two arms as well with some, like, clawed hands. But then it's got this, like, apparatus, this, like, mechanical apparatus on its back that has, like, two additional, like, robo-arms.
Yeah.
And then some, like, actuators or something going down its spine.
Like diodes,
And it ends in, like, a metallic capped tail.
Oh, it's got, like, spikes on it. Yeah. It's got, like, a clubbing tail.
Yeah, this thing's kind of wild. These two-legged, four-armed...
Oh, it's holding a head.
Yeah, dude. It's munching on some guy's dome piece.
It's just munching on a dome.
Yeah. It's having a little skull snack. These two-legged, four-armed pseudo-primates have large mechanical sockets on their backs and the intelligence of a smart animal, such as an ape. Their sockets make them receptive to commands from intelligent machines and psychic entities, turning them into compliant servants for entities that lack the ability to manipulate objects directly. Baugs thrive on and seek out this connection, as it improves their own ability to think, deduce, and plan, making them almost on par with a typical human. Baugs serving a master are called mind-linked Baugs, and those without a master are known as wild Baugs.
Neat.
Weird. So they, like, they crave AI connection.
Yeah, they're like, make me smart, computer.
They want to be part of the machine, please. Their motive is twofold. One is our old friend hungers for flesh.
Oh, we love it.
And then the other one is connections with advanced intelligences. For their environment, they're found in and near Numenera ruins. They have a health of 6, and they inflict 2 points of damage. Their movement is short, and also short when climbing. They understand Numenera as a level 3, and they resist machine or psychic commands only as a level 1. Because they really, really want to be tapped into the machines.
Yeah.
In combat, wild Baugs will bite, claw, and punch at their foes. They use animalistic tactics and are likely to flee if outmatched. Mind-linked Baugs will use medium weapons such as clubs or bows.
Huh.
Inflicting 4 points of damage and may be equipped by their masters with ciphers. Mind-linked Baugs have an asset on all attacks, defenses, and intellect-based actions. They make use of whatever tactics their master directs them to. Can you imagine this thing running at you on all fours and its robo-arms are like drawing a bow while it's like charging you?
That'd be horrifying.
Or it's got a spear or like a lance or something and it's just its own mounted fighter. Wild. Although it describes them as two-legged and four-armed, so maybe they stand on those back legs, kind of like a kangaroo.
Well, I mean, I would assume move probably like apes do, you know?
Yeah.
Probably a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. A
little bit of like swinging action, a little bit of all fours, a little bit of running.
And then you got those bonus arms.
Bipede. And then some bonus arms in there.
Yeah. Wild Baugs avoid unknown creatures unless they are very hungry or sense the presence of a mind or machine talker. Mind-linked Baugs loyally serve the interests of their master, which might make them friendly or hostile toward explorers. For potential uses, a gang of wild Baugs lurks near a telepathic or machine-talking PC, avoiding direct conflict in the hopes that the PC will make contact. After encountering several packs of wild Baugs, the PCs are surprised by a pack of mind-linked ones with weapons, tactics, and a mission.
And then
there's a loot section here. The undamaged sockets of a pack of Baugs might be salvaged for a couple of ciphers, an oddity, or a few shins. shins being the our currency money in this world, not like people's
just
leg
people's
bones.
Just people's shins.
Yeah. Mind-linked Baugs have conventional equipment and may also carry ciphers.
I don't know which way to lean on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it largely depends on if they're mind-linked or not. Because I feel like if they're mind-linked, they're way chiller. But then they're sort of at the behest of whatever has them mind-linked.
Yeah.
Versus if they're... I mean, if they're wild, I don't want them near me. Because they just hunger for my flesh.
Yeah.
And four arms is too many arms.
I think so.
I'm going to say that.
You're just going to say it?
I'm Griffin Coldiron, and four arms is too many arms, and you can quote me on that.
I'm Zach Tuttle Rob, and I approve this message.
Thank you, Zach Tuttle Rob. If you had two extra bonus arms, what would you do with them?
If I had two extra bonus arms, well, it would make my work a lot easier.
That's true.
You know, I don't know how many times like I've been sitting there like, you know, like I glued like something and like I'm holding it and I'm trying to staple it, but then like I need to grab something and I'm like, what do I do? Shit.
The calculus of like what can you put down, what can you like, can you
how do you get like your hands spread that you can hold both of the pieces of wood you're working on together. But yeah, having an extra arm would be great.
I feel like I would get into sports, but I would very quickly like get kicked out of those sports.
Yeah. Like canoeing would be great. Yeah. Because like you could be doing like two paddles at once.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That'd be pretty sick. Like kayaking would be awesome. You'd be, I feel like, pretty good at like juggling.
Yeah. There is this thing. Have you seen, this is kind of on the topic of, improved sport abilities. Have you seen this thing for something called the Enhanced Games?
I don't think so.
It's this attempt to do like a new sort of international sports thing, like a la the Olympics, but like, athletes will not be drug tested.
Oh, I've heard about this. Yes.
So it's like, do doping and like do steroids and like get at quote unquote as like enhanced as you can do and then come do sport. I'm like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But enhanced games with two robo arms on your back.
Oh, yeah. You'd be rocking.
I would be the best beach volleyball player.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
You'd be really good at like tag or dodgeball.
Oh yeah, like those crazy like professional tag things that like, they have going on now.
Yeah, you can. You know, you'd be like reaching out to tag someone, but then you'd have the other arms like grabbing like a little pole to swing you through a thing. Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. Be sick,
dude.
Super extra
cool.
Arms.
Tennis.
I know that you just said that extra that four arms is too many arms. Now I'm like, God, I wish I had four arms.
I'm Griffin Coldiron, and six arms is too many arms.
Here's a question. And you can where quote would you, me on that. How would you like want your, like, if you had two extra arms, how would you want them like positioned?
That's a very good question. Because on the bow, it's like the apparatus.
The back a little bit.
Yeah, it's like placed on what I think on us would be the equivalent of like between the shoulder blades.
Yeah.
Which means the two bonus arms would be probably coming up over the shoulders.
Well, that are like coming just kind of around your, you know, your waist and down.
I feel like, like maybe center of the back. That way you could have a little bit of like flexibility in where they're landing.
Well,
because
I feel
arms.
Like the Goro, was it Goro? Was it Goro from Mortal Kombat?
Yeah. Or like a Machamp. Arms? Yeah.
Yeah. Like I feel like, you know, like the upper set of arms like would always just kind of be out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because like you've got like another shoulder in your armpit.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'd be a little uncomfortable.
It would. But these are like robo arms. So like we can slim down on some of like the extraneous like musculature and the bones that you would need. I'm not adding any more bones to my body. Please don't get don't get it twisted. I have enough bones.
You gonna care for my bones?
I have enough bones as it is.
Yeah.
I don't need more.
There's so many bones.
I got way too many, if I'm being honest. And
I got too many bones.
And I don't know what half of them do.
You know what? That's fair.
There's like a bunch of bones. There's like bones in my ear. Like,
yeah, there's some weird ones. There's some weird ones out there.
I don't care for these bones.
Your hand and feet have too many bones.
Like too many. I don't know what
there's
half
so
of them do.
So many bones in there. So many bones in there.
Some people already have more bones than they need in their hands and or feet.
Yeah.
All those crazy double-jointed folks.
My stepbrother's one of those. It's wild.
Yeah. Damn, dude.
Last credit?
What's the verdict on Boggs?
Bad pet, I think. I think bad pet.
I think there's opportunity, but, like, this is more, like, hench folk material.
Yeah, well, you would need, like, Rosetta Stone for, like, programming if you want to really get into the Boggs space.
Yeah, the starting point, the skill ceiling on Boggs is, like, really nothing to sneeze at. Got a big learning curve on Boggs.
Big time, big time, big time.
Yeah. Let's get on to that last creature.
So I love this next guy.
Yeah?
So it's like a cute armadillo, dude.
Aw.
Yeah, it's called a Trucalon.
Aw.
Trucalons are rodent-like mammals with short legs, tiny eyes, dozens of sharp teeth, and armored hides.
Yeah, it's like a little, like...
Armadillo boy. He's got like a long snoot.
Uh-huh.
Little, like, blue ears. He's got what looks like, you know, like the little eye stalks on the top of the, the big frog thing.
The frog hemoth.
Yeah. It's kind of got like two little eye stalk antenna things coming off the top of its dome piece.
Yeah. Like it's got eyes in the place that you would expect there to be eyes.
Yeah.
And then there's two little kind of like poking up out of the sand eye stalks.
Yeah. It's weird. Let's see. Their armored segments look like leather, but are reinforced internally with a skeleton of hard synth.
Ooh.
Making them more protected than any other creature their size, even turtles.
Hell yeah.
They are fearless, but not particularly aggressive. If threatened, they turn sideways and hiss. I think that's what we're seeing now in this image as it turns its head and it's like...
It's making, It's making this face. It's going, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the face. What about its eyes and hiss? And if the threat persists, they roll into an armored ball and wait for their attacker to get frustrated and give up. Trucalons have so little meat on their bodies and are so difficult to hurt that most predators learn to ignore them and find easier food.
That's hilarious. I love that.
Yeah. Trucalons eat worms, grubs, small insects, fruit, eggs, and green leaves. Many develop a fondness for tea leaves and other stimulating or hallucinogenic plants.
Nice.
Stoner armadillos. They sleep in intervals of a few minutes throughout the day and are active whenever not sleeping. So they're like, hey, one second, I gotta doze off for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, dude, I'd love to go out. I'm up. I'd love to go out. Give me like a tight 10.
All right, here we go. All right, let's party.
Ready.
Their vision isn't very good during the day. They forage mostly by smell and is worse in the dark. So their nighttime hunts often result in a lot of noise as they wriggle through brush, dig holes, and clumsily search for food.
What a hilarious way to phrase that. Their vision isn't very good during the day. And it's worse in the dark.
It's worse in the dark.
They have extra eyes. What the fuck?
Some communities keep Trucalons as pets and decorate their armor with paint.
Oh, cool.
They always give birth to triplets and don't socialize with their own kind except in spring to mate.
That's interesting.
That is very interesting. Hungers for flesh, but we know it's like bugs and fruits and stuff.
Yeah, you know, like flesh can mean like yeah, we've talked about this before. I hunger for flesh sometimes.
Yeah, my cats hunger, like they're carnivores technically.
I'm making chicken tacos later tonight. I'm hungering for flesh.
Ooh, chicken tacos. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude.
You find them in forests and plains. They got a health of 3. Inflict only a point of damage. Armor of 4. Short movement. Sight-based perception is level 0. Because they can't see good. They scratch with a digging claw. And their interaction. Wild Trucalons usually ignore larger creatures that don't appear to be hunting them. Tamed Trucalons are friendly and approach visitors to beg for tweets.
Aww.
Can I tweet?
I'm very cute and have 4 eyes even though I cannot see you. May I have a treat?
Give me treats. I got cute little arms with little claws on them.
Check
and a big pangolin tail.
Check it out. I can roll up into a ball.
It's pretty cool. And then you use a wild treacle and wanders into the PC's camp and wakes everyone up as it stumbles around looking for food.
I love the fact that they're, like, invincible, but they can't see for shit.
Yeah, it's they can't so see funny. For shit. Yeah. Like, yeah, you're just hearing, like, pots and pans just, like, bing, bing, bing.
And they can afford to get up into shit because if they're endangered, they can just go whoop.
Whoop.
If I'm understanding the game right, like, so medium weapons, like, you know, basic swords and, like you know, common weapons, deal 4 points of damage, which means its armor of 4 means you couldn't touch it with one of those.
You can't fucking touch this
thing. You would need, like, a fucking claymore to even put a dent on this guy.
I like Trucalons. Yeah. I think they're great.
There's a little thing on the sidebar in the left side if you want to hit that as well.
Yeah. Trucalons are common enough in most areas of the Ninth World that as armored as a Trucalon is a common phrase, usually to mean a creature that is too well protected to hunt, but sometimes meant in a comical way toward a guard or glaive who wears a ridiculous amount of armor.
That's good.
Yeah, GM intrusion, the force of an attack rolls the Trucalon into a ball and knocks it a short distance away, completely negating the battle of the damage of the attack. It just whee! I'm out.
Deuces.
Scamper. Scamper, scamper, scamper. I like them.
They're kind of silly looking.
Yeah, I think they're kind of cute. You know me. But I love, like, that, like armadillos and stuff. Like, yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's not in an off-putting way. It's just like, you're kind of silly.
You're kind of silly looking. It does. The arms are very, like, it's got, like, just very small, like, you know, T-Rex sort of style
little,
arms there.
Little digger arms.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very cute. I like them a lot. You know, apparently they make good pets. They like treats.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm in.
I'm in. You can get high now, with your Trucalon.
Get high with your Trucalon. Hi, this is Zach Tuttle Rob saying, get high with your Trucalon.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're fun. They could be good for some sort of, like, if they were down to play, like, use them as, like, a casual sports ball.
Yeah, like in Road to El Dorado.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want to make sure the Trucalon's cool with it, but, you know, they want to have, it's fun for them, too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, like a fun lawn bowling game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Less like, not like an impact sport where you're kicking the thing, but we're like, yeah, like lawn bowling or some sort of like a curling sort of activity.
Oh, yeah, like a bocce.
Yeah, like a really, really like a, some sort of weird future bocce.
A futuristic, you know, a critter bocce.
Yeah. Dude bocce.
Dude bocce. Yeah, truke bocce.
There you go.
True. You guys want to you want to botch some truke later? Dude, I'm in.
Yeah, it's truchy.
Yeah, truchy. Yeah, you smoke some grass, you botch some truch, some truchy.
Well, you don't want to botch the truch.
Yeah, you don't want to botch the truch. You just want to truch the truch.
Yeah. Treat the truch like it deserves to be truched.
Yeah, exactly.
Truch yourself like you deserve to be truched.
Yeah, Griff, go truch yourself.
You should really like it's Zach and Griff, and we're here to tell you today, go truch yourself.
Go truch yourself.
Truch yourself to something nice.
Like a Truchalon. Good pet.
I would say good pet. Perfect. Honestly, all the pets today, except for maybe the Baug, pretty good pets.
Pretty all right. Yeah, Dritch was also a little on the scary side.
Dritch, I would say, was like at best, maybe a 5 or a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, it's like, you know, like we've got, you know, like it's like a sandwich, okay? Like the Zaresk and the Trucalon, like solid, like, you know, bread base.
Zaresk, you like, kind of go like, ooh, but like, could be good.
Mm-hmm. But then like, it's like the Dritch is like, you know, like a hearty, like, you know, like spicy pepperoni. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's in there and it's there to add just like a little pep to it.
Yeah.
You know, but like it could be good. And then the Baug is like some real tangy sort of mustard.
Yeah. You know? Like some like really just like rank horseradish.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it adds like something to the
like
sandwich.
Like a pickle in a sandwich that just shouldn't have a pickle in it. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. Like it adds something. Is it good? I don't know.
but it does like
it adds something. Yeah, definitely.
Jeez.
But yeah, I think that's about it.
I think it's about it. What a good first dip into the Creature 3.
Big time. I like this book a lot. We're going to be using it a lot, probably.
We didn't shout this out at the top of the episode, but these, of course, are coming from the Numenera cipher system from Monte Cook Games.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in the world at all, bestiary. Check them out. And also, if you want some hands-on, first-hand experience with the world, go check out the Imprinted Echoes podcast here on Ghostlight Media, headed up by our lovely friend Zan. Chase, who has been on the show before, is a player, as well as Rin. She is also a player on that show. It's an actual play, family-friendly Numenera podcast. So, like, go check them out.
Yeah, and Bridget, who you can also see in like the one shot of Monster Hearts I ran a couple of years ago, that's on our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
because that video does exist still.
That does exist.
Every once in a while, I do go and watch just because of one NPC who I really love.
Yeah, that was a good game.
But I think that's it.
I think that's about it for it, gang. Thank you so much for listening to us today. I have been Griffin.
And I have been Zach.
And just remember, folks, at the end of the day,
it's all about Trooch, baby.
It's all about Trooch. And love.
And love. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you all for listening to episode 130 of Zach and Griffin's Multiversal Pet Shop. If you enjoyed the show, consider leaving us a review or telling a friend about us. We are officially moving off of Twitter and onto Blue Sky. Not that our Twitter was that active to begin with, but you do what you can. You can find us as part of the Ghostlight Media Network over at ghostlightmedia.net or on Blue Sky at Pet Shop Cast. On our website, you can find links to our merch store and Patreon page, which helps support all of the Ghostlight Media shows and everyone who creates them. Thank you to our patrons Carlin, Xander, and Kasia for your continued support. We'd like to thank Nicole Tuttle Rob for making our theme song. You can find Nicole on Twitter or Blue Sky at Nicole Voice and on The Silent Secrets as part of Ghostlight Media. We'd also like to thank our friend Rin for voicing the ads you hear on the show. You can find Rin on Blue Sky at Rin Moran and on the Imprinted Echoes podcast, also a part of Ghostlight Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode. Until then, don't forget to adjust your time portals for daylight savings, or you may experience some exponential drift of about 10 to 20 years. You know, those hours really add up.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.